Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about how to negotiate a severance package as an excellent high-performing employee. Ever since I wrote my book, How to Engineer Your Layoff, Make a Small Fortune by Saying Goodbye in 2012, after I negotiated my severance, a lot of people have asked me, why would a company ever give a high-performing employee a severance? Why would they ever let them go in the first place? Instead, why wouldn't they just pay and promote them more? Well, this is a really good and fair question because it doesn't seem to make sense on the surface. But I know in my case, it worked because it's not just about the money. It's about getting promoted. It's about happiness. It's about being in the right seat for the right person. And if you're not with it, you know, why would they want to keep you even though you are a good performer? So I don't want to talk about myself in this podcast. I actually want to talk about my wife's severance negotiation story back in 2014, 2015. And I think it's an important story because it'll show people that high performers, excellent employees can get a severance package as well with a little bit of creativity. So for the last 2 years of my wife's 9.5 year career with one firm, I felt she was underpaid and overworked. I could tell because I get to see her every single night when she comes home. And I told her she should be more aggressive in asking for a raise and a promotion. But every time I brought up the subject, she said she didn't want to be too pushy. And knowing my wife, I can understand. She is an introvert. She is not very aggressive in a lot of things. And she just kind of does her thing, does a great job, and keeps quiet. Her style is very different from mine when I was working. I always kept track of how much my competitors at other firms were getting paid for what they were doing. And whenever I felt my compensation had fallen behind by more than 10%, because basically after every single bonus year, you get some whispers and a good idea of how much other people have got at different firms, I would basically sit down with my managers for a heart-to-heart discussion and make sure they were aware of my concerns, most notably trying to get promoted and paid. You got to keep the pressure on every at least couple years if you want to keep your managers honest. Otherwise, they're just not going to bother. And for me, it worked. I was able to get promoted to vice president at age 27. And then 3 years later, I was able to get promoted to executive director at age 30, 31. But I couldn't break that ceiling to managing director. And so I decided, you know what, at age of 34, I'm out of here because instead of complaining, I'm just going to do my own thing. So anyway, when it was time for my wife to get promoted in early 2014, she was passed over for two guys. One guy was a slacker who was just always surfing the web. She sat right next to him so she could tell. And the other guy always talked about how unsatisfied he was at the firm and that he wanted to quit. So both of these guys were a couple years older than my wife. However, my wife had the same amount of experience. And experience is what counts for meritocracy. So my wife was finally pissed off enough to realize the importance of self-advocacy. She had naively believed, as many of us do, that if we do good work, our bosses will always recognize and reward our efforts. And if you've been in the business long enough, you'll realize this is hardly the case. So just know, everybody, the longer you stay at one firm, the more you will be taken for granted. It's like this with any kind of a relationship you're in as well. A boss's favorite employee is one who never complains and never speaks up for him or herself to get paid or promoted. The less the boss can pay you, the better he or she looks because of costs and returns. So after this Passover, no longer was my wife willing to stay late and deal with pain in the butt clients anymore. And she finally asked me to help her come up with a severance plan. And that was pretty exciting. So step one. The most important thing I did to help my wife was to make her know her worth. She didn't want to entertain other job offers because after 9.5 years, she felt very loyal to her firm. This is a very, I guess, 1980s mentality. If she was absolutely truthful, she would also admit that she would rather just stick with her routine than, you know, burn the midnight oil with a new firm and rebuild all these relationships. So once she understood what her market value was, she began to be much more aggressive in fighting for her rights. Step two, she demanded a meeting with her bosses at which she implied to them in not so many uncertain terms that if she did not get promoted by mid-year, so 6 months later, she was gonzo. And her bosses were actually surprised, which is actually a bad thing because she hadn't properly managed their expectations. There's this great Harvard case study called The Art of Managing Your Boss, You're Managing Your Manager, which everybody should read. So now expectations were clear. She played chicken with her firm, knowing they would swerve in the final seconds because she was the point person for several major clients. Nobody else had the relationships and nobody else could do what she could do. And if she left, they were screwed by more than 10x her salary in lost revenue. And this is really important, folks. You know, whatever you make, you better be creating more value. Otherwise, the firm won't keep you. And in many firms, you usually create at least 5 times, if not 10 times, if not, I don't know, 20 times your salary in value to the firm. So the good news is that 6 months later, they agreed to promote her and give her a 20% raise. So that's excellent, and it's better late than never. And management was apologetic, and they said, you know, we love you a lot, please stay with the firm and all that, yada, yada, yada. And during this time, Financial Samurai grew by another 50%. This is a really high growth phase for our company, and it gave us much more confidence. It gave her much more confidence to walk away and never return. I already walked away in 2012. But of course, I never recommend anybody quit their jobs, especially after almost 10 years of service, so a severance had to be negotiated. So step 3, we went over in detail how she felt after she got promoted. And her response was pretty simple. She felt satisfied. She felt great knowing that she finally got what she deserved. And when I asked her what about, you know, getting to the next level, getting to her boss's level, she basically said she has no desire to go through the stress her boss goes through every single day. And this is a good trick for all of you guys to think about. The next level, do you want to be your boss? And if the answer is no, well, then you better take it down a notch or think about something else to do. For me, in finance, I wanted to get to the next level, partially because I wanted to see what it looked like up there, and then partially because of ego. If I'm going to work, I might as well do my best and get to the top, or else why bother, right? So once I realized I couldn't get to the top, I left. But for my wife, she really, really didn't care. So alrighty then, she was now in a very powerful position of having nothing left to fight for. Step 4, it was now time to make the move for her. 5 months after her promotion, or 11 months after she was first passed over, she walked into her boss's office and asked for a severance equal to what some recent employees had gotten when their department shut down. Her managers balked, as expected, given she had recently gotten promoted and was an excellent performer. And about a couple weeks went by before they realized my wife was pretty serious about leaving. Her heart just wasn't into the job any longer, and they realized something had to be done. They knew they had messed up by not promoting her earlier in the year. At the same time, they really needed to keep her due to her client relationships. So they had another meeting about what they could do to make her happy. They implied she would get another 20% raise in the new year. And that's pretty good if you think about it. 20% 1 year, 20% again the next year. Hey, pretty soon you're going to be making double the money in 3.5 years. But my wife told them there was nothing they could do. Even a 50% raise wasn't going to keep her motivated because she no longer enjoyed the work and she didn't fully trust management to promote people based on a meritocracy. She reiterated very strongly she wanted a severance and to be treated fairly. And they told her they'd have to get back to her the following week. So a week later, they had another meeting. All this while, my wife continued to come in on time, but leave right when the clock struck 5 p.m. She was always courteous, always professional to all her colleagues, but she never put in more effort than expected. So after 9.5 years of going the extra mile, it now seems like, hey, what's going on here? While she's just doing what she's been asked to do. And just know, good behavior during the severance negotiation process is very important. You don't want to piss off your managers and you don't want to take advantage of them or anything. You want them to see you as a hardworking, honest, loyal employee who stuck around all this time, and you want to make them feel that they should be taking care of you, not screwing you over. So management decided it was best to pay her a severance and arrange some type of long-term transition so that everybody wins. And their initial offer was this: 3 months base salary, all her vacation days paid, which is required by law, 6 months of free health care, so no premiums paid for 6 months, and that she stay for another 6 months full time. So, knowing from my experience in consulting with dozens of other people, after 9.5 years of working at our firm, I knew their proposal was really, really weak. It was just unacceptable. She should have gotten at least 2 weeks of pay per year work. So that would be 18 weeks, maybe 19 weeks, right? 9.5 years. And what is that? 4.5, almost 5 months worth of severance. Instead, it was only 3 months. And they wanted her to work for 6 more months full time. So we tried our best to negotiate a higher severance lump sum in the follow-up meeting when she said, let me think about it. But she was working at a private company that was on the decline, and they refused. They said they were handcuffed by headquarters based in Europe. So the headquarters is not in San Francisco, it was in Europe. So step five, the only logical next step was to get creative. You know, the dialogue has already been had, you know, everything's out in the open. There's no hiding or beating around the bush. She's not going to get fired because she's a valuable employee, and she's not going to quit because she's going to get a severance and she wants to negotiate. She wants to create a win-win scenario. So this is a step where many severance negotiators fail, and many people just lack the creativity. It's kind of the reason why so many homes are staged, because people can't go into an empty, unstaged home and think where the furniture is going to go and stuff like that. It's just kind of weird. There's all this data that says if you stage a home, you're going to get much more in return than the cost of staging. So given her firm wouldn't budge on the lump sum severance payment, we proposed a compromise for the remaining 6 months of full-time work requested. So instead of coming in for 5 days a week, we went back and said she'd be willing to come in for 2 days a week and work from home for 1 day a week. Further, she would no longer have to interact with clients, which was her biggest stressor for her job. I mean, these clients, not so nice, gave her a lot of stress, called all the time, emailed all the time, yelled, not great people. And during this time, she would train other people to fully take over her responsibilities, and she would get her full salary. So after another week of deliberation, they said yes. They were afraid she'd quit and leave them in the ditch, and they needed her to manage her large clients until they found capable replacements. So let's do the math here. By working 40% fewer hours, right, going from 5 days to 3 days, and really, I mean, work from home, come on, we all know it's not a full day working from home. She basically got a 67% raise for 6 months. In other words, the value of her severance package increased by over $85,000. Not only was she getting another 6 months of full company 401k matching worth $9,000 at the time, she also got to accumulate 15 more days of paid vacation worth $7,800 based on her salary. And she continued to receive healthcare insurance as well. And what's better? What's better is that she actually loved her last 6 months of work at the firm because she didn't have any stress. She was already checked out. She was nice. She was coming in. She was, you know, managing people and training people. But the stress of dealing with clients was absolutely gone. And the responsibility was all on her managers and her trainees. So every day she came home with a big smile. It was unbelievable. And when she finally left, she felt like she had won. Not only had she gotten her raise and promotion, she had been able to get a severance and also feel vindicated. They threw a wonderful party and even invited her to the company holiday party where she won a $500 iPad. And let me just talk about that vindication. Vindication comes from the fact that they had to transfer 2 employees from the New Jersey office to get trained by her. So in other words, one might conclude my wife had been doing the work of 2 people all this time. So therefore, she felt even less guilty leaving work behind. And that guilt of leaving a long-term employer is something that a lot of people do have to overcome. I had to overcome that. I always felt guilty as well, but not so guilty enough to feel miserable at work. So overall, her severance package rose from about $40,000 to about $140,000 due to some creativity and open dialogue. For the next 8 months, we had a blast. We traveled all along the Mediterranean, visiting, it was like 7-8 countries. And then we went up to Tahoe during the summer and the winter. It was so, so fun to be free with her. Because remember, all this time, for the past 2.5 years, it was just me being in early retirement mode and just writing and just waiting for her to come home. So now I had a best friend to just see the world, and that was wonderful. And then she got an email from her boss, again, this is 8 months later, asking if she could return in a part-time capacity. And she politely said no, but told him to check back in 6 months. And man, she felt awesome to be able to reject him and just kind of leave the door open. And like clockwork, 6 months later, he checked back in with her. And this time, my wife was amenable to going back to work as a consultant. She had enjoyed 14 months of absolute freedom and felt sufficiently rejuvenated to hang out with old colleagues and start making some more money again. I remember back in high school and college, we'd have 3 month summer vacations, and by that third month, I was kind of going crazy and itching to get back to work again. So imagine 14 months of absolute freedom. She was ready to do some kind of part-time consulting at the very least. But of course, she wasn't going to go back to her same role with the same package. It was they who wanted her back, so she had the power. So she asked for a 40% hourly rate raise because they wouldn't have to pay her benefits. And also, it was slightly less expensive than if they went to a recruiter. Further, she requested no client interaction once again. So in other words, her job would be to manage employees to do the work she used to do and leave with no responsibilities for 40% more pay. And once again, they agreed. So for the next 10 months, they paid her 40% more, and she felt like she was winning every single time she went to the office and she got home. Further, the commute wasn't that bad because there was no longer a crowded bus, because ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft had slashed their cost by like 60 to 70% with Uber Pool, so it was really convenient to go to work. They paid her for a full day's work. It was like 8 to 9 hours a day, but really, there's only about 4 to 5 hours of work each day, so she had a lot more free time, she was relaxed, she could run some errands, and they really didn't care because so long as she got her work done, all was good. She ended up saving and investing 100% of her consulting income during this time period because she didn't need the money. Our online business continued to grow since she left. So I hope my wife's severance example highlights what is possible if you maintain a good relationship with your employer and talk things out. So long as you can create value, good things will happen. I hope to share more severance negotiation success stories with you guys, and perhaps you guys can share your success stories with me, and then I can share it with other people. Remember, never quit. Get laid off instead. If you get laid off, you can get a severance. You can be qualified for unemployment benefits. You can get a better recommendation, probably. You can get COBRA. You can get some work retraining benefits, and so forth. But if you quit, you get none of that. So never quit, get laid off. Thanks so much, everybody.